This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Cool. Welcome to the Underground. Let's thank them for that wonderful worship. Yeah. That was pretty awesome. All right. Well, if I can speak late enough tonight, I can have like the last sermon of 2017, huh? What do you guys think? If I speak too long, then it'll be like the saddest sermon of 2017 because no one will be here. But if I speak long enough, I can have the first sermon of 2018. All right, let me just throw some things out there, and I'm going to say this just to try to connect with maybe where some people are at. I'm going to say that I began my life of addiction, besides the family of origin and all that stuff that I grew up around, but I'm going to say personally, you know, I had a heavy-duty fantasy life as a little kid. Was always lost in some kind of fantasy world. Very rarely was I present, like what I was doing, where I was at. I had a mind that wouldn't stop, tons and tons of anxiety, just didn't feel very normal. A lot of these are symptoms of low dopamine. If you want to do a really good study, is study symptoms of low dopamine levels. And you're going to see most people that struggle with addiction also have low dopamine levels. And so that can be combated with different ways that I implement in my life of how to raise your dopamine levels naturally. But what it'll do if you have low dopamine levels is it will cause you to crave and become codependent. And what I mean by codependent is I mean you'll have a tendency to want to reach for something outside of yourself to make yourself okay. And that's being codependent. And so a person will have a strong drive to do those things. Now, when I discovered drugs, I grew up around it, but when I discovered using drugs and it really hit me, I figured out how to do it, just to be honest with you, won't go way into this, don't want to trigger anybody, but like when I first smoked weed, I was like, okay, I'm never going to quit doing this. Like, this is it. Like, this does it for me. When I first was introduced to speed, you know, amphetamines, I was like, okay, I'll definitely never quit doing this. This is my thing forever. It really clicked with me. It resonated with me. When I discovered pornography, I was like, well, I'm definitely not ever going to quit this. This is like the greatest thing. All these things had this kind of effect. Anything that helped me escape, anything that comforted me, anything that made me feel safe. And there's different levels of all this and different kinds of escapes. Some people use to get that floating feeling like they're in their mom's womb and they're connected and they're safe and they're in bliss. Some people use because they're trying to satisfy a sense of adventure that we all have. We want to experience awesome things and adrenaline, and we want to get that rush. And people use for different reasons, and I had all these different things going on. Now, one of the things about having like low dopamine levels and is that when you put anything in your body immediately begins the balancing act. You know, if right now I had a big sugary sweet drink and I just chugged it, my body immediately will begin to balance what I just did to it. It'll work hard to do it. You know, if I eat something really, really bad for me or use really strong drugs, my body is just a miracle where it will draw from its richest resources to balance that out. In some ways, it'll bring and draw from my bones because that's a rich source that it can draw from to balance the chemistry, right? It'll draw from brain. Some of this is the reason why as we get older, we experience brittle bones. See, that was part of the brain thing. Brittle bones and stuff like that and teeth problems because our bodies are drawing from these things. And so when we quit using these things, we'll really experience a serious setback. You know, we'll feel it because if I provide something for my body, it will immediately stop producing whatever that is doing. Do you know what I'm saying? If I put adrenaline in my body, what is my body going to stop producing, right? If I put testosterone in my body, what is my body going to stop producing, right? It's just a miracle. But then when I quit doing it, I'm going to feel that. It's going to be a pretty intense experience. So I lived, guys, a lifetime of drug use, of porn use, all these escapes, heavy-duty anxiety, behavior, all these things. And so you can imagine, guys, the series of resets I've had to go through, rebooting my brain, rebooting and resetting this body. You talk about some intense stuff to go through each level and each reset that I've had to experience. Pretty big deal, right? Because I have developed an expectation and a dependence for this reward system, this comfort that I get from it. And there's an expectation that I have now developed around all these behaviors, right? So when I quit doing these things, it is very painful. I mean, this is no joke. I mean, I'm definitely not going to kid around about how painful it is to come out of addiction. No matter what it is a person is trying to quit doing, new habits they're trying to start doing, this stuff is heavy duty. It's painful. I've been through a lot of it. But I want to tell you something else. It's also sweet. It's painful, but it's deeply spiritual. It is deeply spiritual, guys. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you learn to fear no evil, because it is there you learn that God is with you, and it's rich, and it's powerful. And I wouldn't trade some of those experiences, though painful, for anything. So there's a program called the Men of Valor, and it is a pornography sexual addiction program. One of their concepts, when a person goes into their program, you automatically sign a contract that you will not have any sexual behaviors of any kind for 90 days. Now, for some people, that's not a big deal. But for an addict, that's a real big deal. And they're signing on the dotted line. And what these guys are doing is they're heading right off, right away, bam, this belief system, this core belief that these behaviors are needed to be okay. That I need sexual behavior. I need pornography to be okay. I need some kind of sexual stimulation for me to be okay. And they're right away confronting it face to face. 90-day fast of any kind of behavior at all. And it's a pretty powerful concept of what they're doing, because they are confronting dead on that I don't have a deficiency of pornography in my body or my brain. Like, I don't need it. I don't have a deficiency of marijuana. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't have a deficiency of methamphetamine. Like, my brain thinks it that I do, but I don't. And that confrontation is so important, and it's powerful. Their method is a hard sell, but it's powerful, guys. You can use it for almost anything. Like, check it out. Let's just say I was going to quit drinking coffee, okay? So you could take whatever it is you're trying to quit. Think about this for a second, if you want to. Let's say I'm living on this line here. Highly stimulated, caffeinated, high sugar, you know, whatever, or media, whatever you want to do. I'm living up here, but I know that's not sustainable. I'm not going to be able to live a long, healthy life living that way. For whatever reason, I decide I need to confront that. What I want to do is I want to drop down to this level and live, right? And that drop is going to be painful. That's going to hurt. I'm going to feel it, right? So their concept is that you drop down below that line. So let's say I want to quit drinking coffee. What I do is I go on a 30-day water fast where I only drink water for liquids. I don't mean food, but I mean what I drink is only water for 30 days. And then I develop this as my new normal. Then after the 30 days is up, I come up to here. And I can add like Crystal Light and juices and all these things, flavor drinks. And I'm like, whoa, this is awesome. You know what I'm saying? Now, that's a great concept. And a person can use it. This is the valley of the shadow of death right here. This is where a person is drying out. This is where a person is resetting. This is painful stuff. If you can walk through it. But I will admit, this is big boy pants stuff for those who are willing to take that journey. They find that people that will go below the line experience far more success than people who try to drop here and hold on to that line. drinking everything sweet and anything that's close that they possibly can to hang on to this, they find these people, they succeed far more. I think that's interesting. Some of the reasons that I look at this kind of stuff is I have to understand that a person that's lived the kind of life that I have in my past is what I am building in my infrastructure, in my soul with God, has to be much stronger than my history. It has to be much stronger than my family of origin and all their beliefs. It has to be much stronger than all my default mechanisms, my default settings that I go to. It has to be strong. And it has to be able to do that and perform and go there when I need it. And so I have to develop something pretty strong. That's kind of what I'm after, and that's what I'm really on board with helping people develop. I want that more than anything. So what are we talking about? You know, what do you guys think is more powerful? Trying really hard or training really hard? Anybody? Training. I think this is overlooked in the Christian world, not here at Journey, but I think it's overlooked a lot. So let's just say, guys, that I was going to run a triathlon, okay? Let's just say that I told you I'm going to run a triathlon. One of the things you might ask me is, well, you know, how are you training for it, right? That's what you would want to know. And what if I said, well, I'm not going to train for it. I'm just going to try super hard on race day. In fact, I'm going to try harder than anyone in the race, right? What would you think of that? Right? Come race day, you know, here's my plan. I'm going to try harder than anyone I'm standing next to. And how do you think that strategy is going to go? What if I had my sponsor, Dave, ride a bicycle beside me and pray over me as I'm trying super hard? That's spiritual, right? I hear that plan from people. You know, good Christians, right? What if he prophesied over me as I'm running the race that he had a dream I was going to win the race? You know what I mean? And so here I am hanging on his prophetic word, hanging on his prayers, trying super hard. Probably not going to go real well. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with prayer or prophesying, but I'm talking about what I see in the scripture is God training people. I see God training people. Paul all the time uses the concept of military. He uses the concept of athletics in his teachings all the time. Now, the scripture tells me not to worry. And so what I want to do with that, right, is, okay, I read that, don't worry. Now I'm going to stand up on the line, and now I'm going to try super hard not to worry, right? Tells me not to lust. In fact, Paul says, for there not to be even a hint of sexual immorality. Not even a hint. Wow, I better try super hard, right? It tells me to love others in the same way that Jesus loved, right? And if I look at that as something that I need to try super hard at, probably not going to go very well. Now, people coming into the Christian world might think that we're just trying to usher you through a big lecture hall, right? Like you're trying to get a doctorate in science or math. But that's not really what we're trying to do. And I believe that here at Journey, the leaders of this church and the people that are involved here, I think that they would agree that being a Christian and doing this whole Christian world is more like entering a martial art or running a triathlon than it is entering a lecture hall. I would say that they believe that. Now, the lectures are important. They're super important. That's part of the training. But I believe it's so much more in depth because we know and they know that I can't think my way into Christ-likeness. I can't think my way into recovery. Can't happen. I need to put my feet on the ground, and I need to do some training. Now, here's another one, guys, I don't hear a lot about. Did you know the pattern in Scripture is that we have a Sabbath day rest? I know we're not under the law. That's what everyone will say. But did you know we're designed 6 days of work, 1 day of rest? Where'd that go? Like, where'd that go? You know why it's gone? Because it's super hard. We're all super busy. We got huge bills. That's a real tough one. But you know, a Sabbath day rest is a way of trusting God, a way of regrouping, replenishing our body, our brain, resting, trusting God with our money and with the day. That let Him run the world today. Like, let Him run the world today. Like, the one day Christmas, it was amazing. All stores were closed. And I can't even begin to tell you how crazy it was. I almost, like, panicked. I had to find a place that was open and find a reason to go. Like, because I just felt like I didn't have what I needed or something. Like, I was panicked. Like, I'm addicted to stores just being open. Like, whether I go there or not. Like, it's a pretty weird thing. But I definitely experienced that. So in order to enter training, if I want to hit this Sabbath rest, if I want to love others like Christ, if I don't want to worry anymore, if I want to stop lusting, I need to enter into a real exciting training program with partnership. I say program because, you know, just a method or some kind of way that I get a group of guys, a group of people together that understand what I'm trying to do, why I'm trying to do it, and we all band together and we begin training. We begin training for the event. You know, I think it's amazing what people will do and what people won't do when they want to win. You know, you guys ever study Olympic athletes? I mean, I'm just blown away by it. What you're going to find if you get into a small group and you let them know what it is you're after, what the vision is, you're going to find exposure of all your weaknesses and all your shenanigans. When you get squirrely, start acting weird, all that's going to come out. But you're also going to get encouragement. I can't tell you how challenging it's been to be on a team here at Journey and let everybody see my garbage. Let everybody, basically, I tell Glenn all the time, I showed everybody my butt today, you know, because that's what it feels like, right? It just feels horrible. For everybody to see that, but I also get the encouragement. I need the best of me to come out in a group, and I need the worst of me to come out, because that's how I'm going to grow, that's how I'm going to change, that's how it works. Okay, another way of resetting and rebooting. Super, super important. The reason I'm hitting this, just about to hit the new year, I'm terribly excited about 2018. I feel really challenged by it. But how about this one for resetting and rebooting? What you go through, and I talk about it all the time, guys, is the mind. And I talk in particular about the subconscious mind. Okay, how many of you guys know local artist Randall Compton? Anybody know him? He's awesome. Isn't he awesome? He's a real good friend of mine. Don't want to name drop, but Randall Compton, he's a good friend of mine. I was out at his house, as I usually am. Just kidding. And I got to watch him paint. It was so fun to watch him work because he had this painting and he was after this certain grassy scene, right? He's so fun to watch. And what he had on the board is taped around his board is all these different pictures of these meadows with this particular grass. Some of them were far away. Some of them were close up. They were taped all over. And he actually had some of the grass there hanging off his painting. And he's just in this zone. Like, he's just in the grass. You know, I'm just loving it. And I'm like, I'm getting what he's doing, right? And I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. And I get it. I'll just give you a few really quick examples. Okay, last winter, like I usually try to have a winter theme, right? We talked about that, to get through the winter, you know, the dark winter here in Alaska of absolute depression and darkness. Sorry, no bitterness there. But I had this theme of going out, staying in a dry cabin. Going out backpacking out in the middle of nowhere where there was no one and being out there all alone with a blizzard. You know, I just kind of had this thing I was after. So first thing I do is change my desktop picture. And I take a lot of time picking it. We have these blizzard sound effects when we sleep. Still use them all the time. And I'll drag my backpack in the living room. I'm always going through my stuff. Look, it could be a spoon too. You know, I'm showing my wife. I'm doing all this stuff, right? And I just really was after this. And I'm reading stories about people that have done it. I'm watching YouTube videos in the middle of the night, eating granola, all excited. And guys, I had the opportunity to actually experience it in the summertime or in the fall here, where I actually got flown out and I did it. It was amazing, right? It was amazing. Okay, another one. I'm talking about resetting your brain. I struggled some years ago about me and Glenna growing older as a couple. And it kind of shocked me that I'm like, wow, I'm not used to relationships lasting this long. I'm like, wow, I think this one might work. So I'm like, well, I better figure this out, right? Like, I'm like, aren't you going to leave by now? Or how's this going to work? And I got kind of freaked out about being an older couple. And what does that look like? You know, I don't want to go off on some midlife crisis and freak out and go get hair plugs and do some weird stuff. So I kind of got worried about it. I did. And I was telling Glenn about it. So what we did was we watched a bunch of these movies about these beautiful old couples in love, you know, holding each other's wrinkles, swaying. And again, I got these desktop pictures of these cute little old couples, and I would change them, like every day I would change them to another old couple, and she'd come out and laugh, you know, say, oh, look at the cute little couple, look at that little old man, you know. And I just bathed myself, saturated my brain and my person with the concept of the old, cute, long-term married couple until my heart was answered, guys. And I did it till my heart was answered. I did it till my heart said, yes, I get it. That's what I want. That's called renewing your mind. That's called renewing your mind. That's what the scripture talks about doing. And I do it all the time. My mind wasn't renewed just from the lectures, because I did listen to some. My mind was renewed because my heart was answered and my heart said yes, and I knew when I found it and when I had it. You know, it was just awesome. So, guys, what I mean by that is, like, when it comes to walking this out. All right. So the scripture tells me that those who receive what God has provided for us, right? Those who believe on his son, he's given us the right to become what? Anybody know? The sons and daughters of God. He's given us the right, guys, to become the sons and daughters of God. And I want you to know something. My main agenda, and this may be very different than yours, this may even go against what you think is right for me to stand up here and say, but I'm going to say it because it's true for me, is the main agenda I have of studying the Word of God is for me to see revealed what God has provided for humankind to become the sons and daughters of God so that I can tell other people, after I believe it for myself, what God has done for them to make them sons and daughters of God. That is my agenda, and that is my only agenda, really, of studying this. Now, again, you may have a different one, and I'm sure it's awesome. That is my agenda for reading what God has done for me and provided for me and has gone to great lengths to provide for me this salvation, this gospel message that tells me that I am no longer the person I've always seen myself as. I'm no longer that guy that did all those things and was doing all those things, that I'm a brand new person in Christ, that I'm a son, that I have a place at the table. I'm a member of the most royal, most powerful household this world will ever see, and I'm part of it. That's what I'm about, and that's what I'm into, and that's what I'm doing. And I take that rebooting and resetting process, and I take it full tilt, and I go after it every single day to every way I can do it, and I try to experience it in all those ways. The best way for someone to change, the best way for anyone to change is for them to hear a different story about themselves, and to see themselves in a different story than they've ever seen themselves in before. What Adam lost was sonship. He lost our identity as people. And what Jesus did is he won it back. What did he win back? Our identity. What's my identity? I'm a son of God. That's who Adam was, and that's who we are. That's what Jesus did, and that's what I'm about. Where is your capital city when it comes to your identity, really? Where is your birth certificate? Right? See, I would say Carolyn just got handed her birth certificate. I think that's pretty powerful. I think that's pretty powerful. Did you know that in the Bible times, it was all about who your father was? Did you know that? In the Bible times, it was always about, aren't you the son of so-and-so? If your father was a bum, you could rise no higher than that. You were forever a bum because your father was a bum. And that's true. Your potential was always limited to who your father was. That's a fact. It's the way it was. So when Jesus came on the scene and said, my father's God, it made them really, really mad. And you can understand why, right? That's a pretty intense thing to say. And then he said, and by the way, your father's the devil, right? That didn't make him too happy either. The writers of the New Testament understand that when you receive salvation, when you receive what God has provided, you have a brand new spirit within you. You have a new DNA. You are now the offspring of God. You have a new story. You have a new nature. And what does that look like? What does that look like? You know, is that crazy or what? If a bell rang four times a day, just say randomly, four times a day a bell rang, and whatever you were thinking was automatically true, how would that go for you most days? Right? I got to tell you the truth. This last couple of months, that wouldn't have went well for me. Right? I would be broke. You know, I would have no hope. All would be lost. Most of the time, these last couple of months, it's been a real tough challenge, right? But understanding this and grabbing this, how about we set a timer to go off four times a day, and when that bell goes off, we think about and become aware what I'm thinking, and then believe the truth. And we just say to ourselves, I'm an awesome spirit being. I'm an awesome spirit being of magnificent worth, right? Beyond my wildest dreams, who I am in Christ. What if we did that four times a day? You know, I love it. In the book, Braving the Wilderness, Brené Brown says something like, do not look for evidence in this world that you do not belong, because you're going to find it. Do not look for evidence in this world that you are not enough, because you are going to find it, right? And I wish that she would have added that your worth, my worth as a person, is not up for grabs. My identity is not to be negotiated ever in the realms of this earth and in this world. It's not up for grabs. I will not negotiate it. It is settled in the capital city from which I hail, guys. It is settled forever in the capital city from which I held, which I hail in the vault in the kingdom of God. What do you guys think of that? What do you guys think of that? Satan will always tempt us with what we already have. He's always trying to do it. He's always trying to tempt me with what I already have, constantly. He'll disguise it, camouflage it, but it's always something already having Christ. Oh, check this out too. The scripture says, have no other gods before me, right? So if I have this, let's just say this is God. He's my number one, and he is before me. Keep him before me, my glorious God, the kingdom of God, all that he is, the spirit of the mighty God. He is before me. He's always before me. But then I put in front of him like something else, like my looks, how much money I have, my performance, how people see me, all this stuff. And he basically says this, anything before him, look what it adds up to. Nothing. It adds up to nothing. I get nothing. But if I put him in the front, and he is before me, he is before all else, everything else he brings into my life, everything I own, my performance, the relationships I have, he will put them in the right place, and they will have worth and value in my life as he is first and on the front. How do you guys like that? Huh? You didn't know I was like this math guy, right? All right, let me finish off by saying this. I had this good-looking young guy come here, plop down right where Jesse's sitting tonight. He comes in here and just plops right down. And this guy loves God, right? Has a great relationship with God, passionate for God. And just, I want to hear, I don't necessarily want to hear it, but I want you to hear, you know, what would you have said to this guy? He just comes in here in the middle of the day, and this happens to us, plops down and says, you know, how do you bear your cross, Dan? Let me just ask you this, right? I'm like, what do you mean, bear your cross, right? And he says, well, how do I deal with the flesh, right? How do I do this? Like, how do I overcome this? How do I deal with this? And he said this. It was a really awesome phrase he said. He said, I feel like I'm wrestling with myself, right? I'm like, wow, that was a powerful thing you just said. Like, did you hear that? Did you hear that? And we're talking about this, right? What would you have said? I just wonder, like, just think to yourself, what would you have told this guy? He talks about wrestling with his flesh. I'm wrestling with myself. You know, how do I do this? You know, you could tell this guy's in conflict, like this something that maybe he keeps falling to, or maybe something that's always been there, and something he's just like, oh, how do I do it? And he comes in here and sits down and asks me point blank, how do I overcome this? And what would you have said to him, right? Check this out. I said, this is your body, right? I didn't do the whole thing, but I did this. I said, name a few things maybe that you're talking about, maybe you deal with, right? And we're talking about maybe some sexual issues, maybe some anger issues, and maybe, I don't remember what they all were, maybe some anxiety. And we just kind of stopped there. I said, let's just hold out there, okay? And I said, you obviously love God, you know God, you're wrestling with this, right? Is this what you guys would have told him? Like, right? You guys would have told him this very thing, right? Because I draw this all the time. I expect to see this in napkins all over Fairbanks. I said, when you became a Christian, you became born again. He put a brand new person right within you. This is called the inner man, the inward man, the new man. You're a brand new person in Christ. That's your new identity, right? And maybe this is this thing you're talking about, right? So I'm like, let's just celebrate for a second that you have within you the presence of God. Isn't that amazing? You have this conflict. And we read out of Galatians how the flesh desires and craves things that are the opposite of the Spirit. And the Spirit desires and craves things that are the opposite of the flesh. I'm like, you have the Spirit. This conflict. See, most guys, this guy, he wouldn't have a problem. He wouldn't be plopped down going, ah, how do I do it? I can't stop lusting. Who does that? Right? The only guy that does that is this guy. I'm like, let's just thank God. You have the presence of God in you going, oh, 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 come on, right? Let me grow. Let's take this thing on. I've never lost a fight ever. Let me do it. Come on. Isn't that powerful? And you just see the presence of God coming over this guy, right? So here's the question. Who are you? Are you this guy? Or are you this guy? It's always a matter of identity. See, and this was the example. You know, if Jesse's sitting here, and there's a guy next to him, and this guy next to Jesse is wanting to use 20 bucks, like, look, Jesse, you got 20 bucks, let's go get drugs. And this guy's sitting next to Jesse going, come on, you got that 20 bucks, let's get drugs, come on! And he's just freaking out. Come on, Jesse. Come on. We've always done it this way. Every time we get 20 bucks, this is what we do. And then I see this going on, and I walk up to Jesse and go, man, why are you wanting to do drugs with $20? Jesse could just relax and go, that's not me. That's that guy. It's that nutbag sitting next to me. Right? And I told him, understand. That's not you. That's your flesh. That's not you, the brand new person in Christ, wanting to do those things. That's this stinking, nasty flesh, this sinful nature, this selfish nature that never has stopped wanting to be selfish. And it never will, right? It's always wanting that. And the first step of overcoming this is by knowing who you are. You don't have to do a thing, do you? You just go, no, no, it's not who I am. As soon as a person comes in here as a Christian and says, I want to use porn, they're losing the battle. Because I can promise you this, the brand new person that God has made you does not want to use porn. Doesn't want to do it. Your flesh might. Now, when you hold that ground and you rest and you take that Sabbath and you go, that rest is mine, right? Your flesh is going to freak out. It's going to freak out. We've always done this. This is how it goes. Start sending mad signals to your brain. Tries to cause a panic. Tries to freak out, right? Because you're not feeding it any of that devil's food, right? It starts starving and dying, screaming. And this is why we need support, right? You're standing against the flesh, Jesse. You're believing in who you are in Christ. I stand with you. Let's rest together. We're the sons and daughters of God. Boom. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? Fighting through rest, that's powerful. So I believe coming into a small group and understanding some of this stuff and having a group that understands this is a huge key to overcoming this as God begins to target areas in our lives and says, I think we can take that area. I think that's ours. We can do it together. How about we do it? Let's overcome it. Like, let me do it. Let me overrun this area completely with my spirit. And when I do, that area will become a plus. Because now you'll be able to help others to deal with that same exact thing. And you'll know how it's done because you've done it. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? I think that's cool. Small groups, the only way to do it. This is done by training, not by trying. And so I just want to tell you guys this, and thank you for letting me share my little diagram for the last message of 2017. 2018, we're going to really train hard. We're going to go for it in here. We're going to pull all the stops, and we're going to just have a blast. I'm real excited. And I want to say, to end this with, that we have a baptistry in there, ready and working. If you have never been baptized, I mean, you want to see the church come alive. We start dunking people in that baptistry. We start having people in there. You know, and I start keeping my bathing suit in my office because it's happening so often. You know, if you've never been baptized and you have the Spirit of God and you've received that gift of God, come talk to me. Come talk to Pastor Derek. Let's do it. Let's have you baptized. Make that public declaration and let's do it. Let's use that thing. Let's just go for it. And if you haven't believed, believe on the name of Jesus Christ. Receive that powerful gift. Become a son or daughter of God. It's what he died to give us. Thank you guys for 2017. Woo!